New watch, new Apple Watch. You are fancy. I like the nice, bone white. What do you call that?
Band. Watch band.
Strap.
Keep that thing on me. I stay strapped.
Were you a watch person, or is this the first time?
I had a Fitbit.
Oh, remember Fitbits?
I had a Fitbit. Do you know that they had a recall on Fitbits because
they were nonsense?
They were setting like people's wrists on fire, or like burning people's wrists. I guess they weren't setting them on fire. They were burning people's wrists.
That is, I did not hear.
Yeah,
that.
There was a certain model, and I had two of them.
Yeah.
So I mailed them in, and I got like $700 back.
Get the
sweet.
Fuck out of here!
Yeah. I mean,
you were part of a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. It's pretty sweet. And like, they were like, you could trade this in for a new device or we'll give you money. I was like, well, I'm going to go with the money.
Yeah, because who the hell needs a Fitbit?
I don't really trust you.
Right. Oh, well. This is Cuckoo Bananas. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined live and in person with Kate Gainey.
Howdy.
How you doing, Kate?
You know. I'm actually doing pretty well.
Good.
I think I'm doing pretty well. I'm back in school. That was like my big goal for January was getting my shit together, getting myself re-registered for school because I had my school does a fun thing where if you lapse for a certain amount of time, if you're not putting in, you know, discussion boards or anything like that, they deregister you. They just take you right out.
Well, that's a fun thing that they do.
So that happened to me. So I had to go through the whole rigmarole again. But I did it and I'm back.
So you had to be re-registered, but you didn't have to be like re-accepted, right?
No, I didn't have to like reapply. I didn't have to redo like my FAFSA and all of that shit.
You just had to
just had to say like, hey, I'm back, essentially.
Yeah. Okay. So that's pretty good. What about the semester that you fucked up?
Yeah.
Do those grades count?
No. It's like it never happened, essentially. Like
That's good.
It's gone.
Which, by the way, if you don't plan on getting a master's, I don't know if you are, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I at this point I do want to pursue my master's.
Okay,
I mean,
that's good.
I'm gonna see, you know, what life brings me and stuff.
Sure. But I remember when I taught, kids would be like, oh, my GPA. I'd be like, do you plan on getting a master's? And they'd be like, no. I'd be like, who gives a shit about your GPA?
Yeah.
No, doesn't say your GPA on your fucking diploma.
Yeah, and employers aren't going to care about it. Other universities will care because, you know.
It's only an academic thing.
Right. They're looking for the best of the best for their program or whatever. Right. But like, you're not going to apply to a job and they're going to be like, and what was your GPA in college?
Right.
And nobody cares.
I feel the same way about double majors. When I taught at the college level, I was a big proponent of talking kids out of double majors.
Yeah, I was a double major. I was film and media studies.
It was never... My feeling was that the risk-reward of it was way off. The risk being burning yourself out and not taking care of yourself. And the reward being very little. I used to say, you know what you get from that? You get this. I'll be the guy interviewing for your job. Huh. That's all you got. That's all you did for all your work was a,
Oh.
That's it.
Yep. It's true. It's true. And that was like a new concept to me because going back to school this time is different for a million and 12 reasons. But one of the big reasons that it's different is because like I understand a little bit more about the academic process and stuff.
Sure.
Like I'm not... I've lived in the world for a little while, and I know nobody's really asked for my...
Right. It's never come up.
Yeah, nobody cares. They care about my previous job experience, and, you know...
And for most jobs, it's like ticking a box. It's like, did you go to college? Yes.
Yes.
Tick the box. Okay, right. Good.
It's like, your highest level of citizenship? Education.
Did you go to college?
I've been doing this incessantly lately. I've been applying for jobs for the last few months with no luck.
It's hard out there.
I actually recently applied for a job that I would really, really love at Alamo Drafthouse.
Ugh.
I would be like the community like coordinator and outreach person. Like I would get to coordinate events.
Yeah.
It's so up my alley. It would be such a great job for me.
I go there literally once a week, sometimes twice.
I went last week to see Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
How did that go?
It was delightful. It's the first time I've ever seen it in theaters.
Really? Oh, really?
Did not see it in theaters when it was originally out.
Well, how young were you when it first came out?
I was, what is it, 2003?
Yeah, I feel like I was like really young.
I was 14.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really on my radar, I don't think. I think I was, you know, probably watching The Fast and the Furious or something.
Right, right.
But it was really nice to see it.
That's awesome.
And the thing that I love about going to screenings of films that like are already known and loved is that everybody in the audience is a fan.
Yes.
Everybody that's there to see it like loves it. That's why we're all here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love going to see a film I already love.
I mean, me and Jen joined the club where it's like $35 a month. But we get such use out of it.
That's honestly like one trip to the movies, though.
Right, right. We get such use out of it. And we mostly, I mean, like, we see a new movie now and again if we want to. Like, we saw Knock at the Cabin yesterday.
How was that?
It was not bad.
Yeah.
And that's something for an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
That is something. It's one of the few good ones I think he's made.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it was good. Actually, I said to my girlfriend Jen, I was like the main like person, if you've seen the trailer, I'm not gonna give it away, but like these people come, there's this family like stay in a cabin, and then these people come and they're like, they tie them up and they're like, you need to kill one of you three or the apocalypse will happen. And one of them is Dave Bautista. And the reason they hired Dave Bautista, right, is because he's huge and has tattoos on all his knuckles and he's, like, intimidating. And then you learn that the character's, like, a second grade teacher and, like, a super sweet guy.
Wholesome man.
But I was like, what the trick with hiring him didn't work because we all already love him.
Right.
We all already like, oh, it's Dave Bautista.
We all already know that he's, like,
a sweet, sweet man.
What's that word? Sundeer. a sundeer. It's like those characters that are like super crunchy on the outside.
Yes.
Like really soft on the inside.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If it were his first movie ever.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, wow. Okay. That was good casting.
But yeah, if he wasn't already Drax, like, and like weaseled his way into everybody's hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Was he good in it? Because I know he was very excited to expand his acting. Yeah.
I think he's actually good. He was also good in Glass Onion, the second Knives Out movie.
He was.
So he's good. What was I saying? Oh, so besides seeing like the random new movie, we always just see the old ones. Like the last one we saw was part of the same program as Eternal Sunshine because they were doing like Valentine's Day. We saw It Happen One Night, which I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
With like Clark Gable and fucking I was like, wow, this is pretty good.
Yeah, it's classic. Very romantic.
Yeah, and I fucking read, like, he doesn't wear an undershirt under his dress shirt, and because of that, men in America stopped wearing undershirts and changed the world. Like, I was like, that's crazy.
It's so weird to think that, like, we're still doing all of that stuff. Like,
right.
How many things are people going to read about years from now that they're going to be like, and then all the women started
right.
tattooing their eyebrows on.
Right, exactly.
It's so wild to... I was thinking about that the other day because actually in the specific context of eyebrows, because I'm a product of the 90s.
Sure.
And so I overplucked my eyebrows at a point and they will never grow in properly.
Like, you can fuck them up for good.
Oh yeah. If you overpluck or overwax your eyebrows, especially like at a young age, the hair just doesn't grow back in like the same pattern. I have like, so when my hair grows back in, it grows out and it grows like wiry and curly.
So like that's Doc really Brown.
Exciting. Yeah, I got a little like Eugene Levy thing going on a little bit too.
Okay.
But not like, I would almost prefer that.
So what do you do now? I would
like
a nice
bold brow. It's like a thin, scraggly thing. It's like a strike hat.
How do you do it now? What do you do?
Oh, I just draw them on.
Do you remove them still? Or you just draw on, you draw to even out what real hair is there?
Yeah, I pretty much draw to like fill in whatever the sparse parts are. Stuff. Okay. Every now and then I'll like trim them down if they're getting crazy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like I've tried to grow them in. They won't do it. They won't do it once you overpluck, that's it.
Wow. Have you tried shaving them and completely off and starting from scratch?
No, I used to have, that used to be a recurring nightmare that I had.
That someone shaved your eyebrows?
Is that I it was myself. Like I would look in the mirror and shave my eyebrows off and then just like start hysterically crying because I looked like an alien.
Right.
But I used to have that dream a lot when I was a teenager.
Really?
Which is bizarre.
My grandma didn't have eyebrows other than ones she drew. But I don't know if she just plucked them her whole life and there was just nothing left or what.
There are people who get laser removal, you know, where their eyebrows would be and just draw them on or tattoo them.
The tattooing is a cool idea.
So over the last few years, microblading has become possible. Popular.
Microblading?
Yes. So it's tattooing.
Just aim it toward you.
Microblading has become popular, and it's a form of tattooing, but it's a bunch of small needles so that it mimics hair strokes.
Oh.
And I'm actually kind of fascinated by that.
The things we do. Science.
I would love to try it, but like it's tattooing your face. If it goes wrong, then what?
Yeah, it's still your face. But getting rid of it is easy now.
Yeah, it's relatively simple.
The used to kind of represent like a real permanent thing.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I'm not saying it's cheap, but it's also not.
It's also apparently quite painful.
Yes, that is true. For sure. I've known people who do it.
Yeah.
And they were like, it is very painful.
Yeah, I think I have a tattoo that I might eventually need to remove. I have this tarot card on my arm.
What?
And it's very liney. It's a lot of lines.
And I could see like a lot of it is bled. So it's kind of like just a black.
It's just a blob.
Situation. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
what a card shaped is it? Blob.
It's the strength card. So it's a lion. And I also have the rune for strength on it. And an infinity symbol, but like all of it is just starting to mush together into
right,
one thing.
Right, right.
So I've considered
that's so funny
removal because I don't know what else to do with that.
My tattoo on my wrist also represents strength. He-Man sword. So I like all my tattoos important. To mean something.
Yeah, to me. Yeah, so I got my first tattoo as a child. Sure. I was 15 when I got my first tattoo. And it has zero significance. It means nothing. It's just like...
What is it?
It's flowers.
Sure.
It's just two silly little flowers. The petals kind of look like corn kernels. It's in a random ass spot on my calf.
Okay.
Got zero significance at all. And I went to the tattoo shop like, I'm going to get stars. I want stars. I want 5 stars to represent my family. Definitely doing that. And I walked in and I was like, yeah, whatever. Those flowers are cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was 15 and I was getting a tattoo. I was just excited.
Yeah, yeah. It was going to... You have that weird rush of like, what's it going to feel like?
Yeah. It was my first tattoo. And I also felt like I'm the coolest fucking person, like, at my school. I'm the coolest kid in the world right now. I'm 15.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in high school, and I'm going to get tattooed.
Yeah.
Nobody's cooler than I am.
That's true.
Whatever I put on me. And so, flowers that look like corn, it is.
So, I'm sure you didn't want them to look like corn. That was probably just a horrible side effect.
Yeah, that was not specified. I wasn't like, if you could shade them in such a way that they look like corn kernels.
See, I never do color. All mine are just black.
Yeah, I have some color here and there. I had a tattoo artist who I later found out was under the influence while tattooing me.
Of what?
Heroin.
Ooh.
That's not
one of the options you'd want them to be under.
No.
I mean, none are good, but that's not the one I wanted to hear.
Right. Like if it was a little bit of weed or something, that's cool.
If right. And if you're someone who smokes weed all the time.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I smoked with the person who was tattooing me because I knew she was a person who smoked weed.
Right.
But I'm all for like artistic liberty and stuff. I get you're the tattoo artist and I'm not, and you know what'll look good in ink and I don't. Right. So the tattoo that I have is like an old school like phonograph.
That's cute.
And it has what I wanted to happen was to have like birds flying out of it, like music notes and birds coming out of it. So the birds look like strange, like bird people hybrids. Okay. Like they look like they have like human legs. Terrifying. Almost. It's awful. And he just decided to tattoo this like background to it.
Oh.
Like a splash of color. And he used pink. And I have like kind of blotchy skin in certain spots and whatever. So like, I can't tell you how many times people have been like, oh my gosh, you have a rash, or like,
right.
I'm like, no, this man just decided to do that without my consent, which is a whole other thing, because I was just really annoyed. Like the first time I saw that, it was on my body permanently.
Jeez.
There was no discussion about it beforehand. There was no, hey, I'm thinking of putting in this background, because I would have been like, okay, cool, let's throw around some color ideas. I would have maybe said red or something like that. Like pink was the wrong choice because it's the undertone of my skin, and now it looks like a rash. Like, and now that's permanently on my skin.
But it tells a story.
It tells a story.
The story and of that time that fucking
the guy
junkie
on heroin fucking tattooed me. And also, it was a free tattoo.
Okay.
It wasn't free, like, just like, hey, I'm going to tattoo you. I won, like, a fundraiser or something like that. And I won it in a raffle. I won a gift certificate for $500 or something for a tattoo. So, I mean, there's that, too. At least I didn't blow my own
you shouldn't pay for something you hated.
I did tip him, which I probably shouldn't have done.
Yeah, if you weren't happy.
And that's the thing,
I always tip everybody, even if I hate them.
Same. I feel like it's I don't know if it's a neurodivergent thing or a people pleasing thing or whatever, but like,
or not dick thing. It's a not dick thing.
There's that too, but like, I feel like I don't even notice that I don't like something until I'm like removed from the situation. Like I go into almost like a crisis state,
it's like you forget that it's on your body, so you're like, it's as if someone was saying, do you like these curtains? You're like, yeah, sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, cool.
I remember just being like, yeah, this is cool, like I like it, and then going home and being like, what the fuck? Like,
right.
Why did you say that was okay? Why didn't you like say something?
Right.
I also was by myself, so I felt vulnerable. And I mean, I've gotten a little bit more comfortable with my voice.
Yeah.
But at that point, I certainly wasn't.
You said you found out later. How did you find out later that he was on heroin?
So someone that I worked with was friends with the owner of the shop.
Okay.
And I was telling her the story of my experience, and she was like, oh, well, you know, who was the artist? And I told her who, and she was like, oh, he got fired because he was doing heroin while he was working.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, that explains a lot.
I used to go to a masseuse place, and there was a masseuse that I liked. And then one time I came in, I was like, oh, is what's her name here? And they were like, oh, no, she's gone. And I think she was an opioid addict. And they were like, yeah, she was falling asleep during her. I was like, not with me. She did a great job with me.
I came looking for her. Yeah, I don't know how people can do drugs like that and function.
Yeah. I never, when I smoked weed, like, I did smoke I never smoked and did anything like real. Like, I never smoked when I taught or anything. But right. I smoked when I, like, was a waiter and stuff.
Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, I almost always regretted it. Because it's, like, fun for, like, a second. And then you're like, oh, I'm at work.
And it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. For sure.
And it's, you want to be stoned. You want to be relaxed. And you can't be. You can't just turn off and, like...
The only time it was good was when I worked overnight, and the manager knew that I was high, so that level of anxiety is gone. She knows. She'd be like, all right, you gotta go take your little walk. And then, even with the customers, because it would be like 3 a.m.
Right.
And I'd be like, guys, how about I get you some fucking ice cream? And, you know, and I was the kind of waiter that would like, if I liked you, I'd sit at your table with you. Just complete.
Just hang out.
Just an asshole. Do you ever watch Bistro Huddy videos?
No.
It's this guy who makes, I think they begin on TikTok, but then they make their way to like YouTube and Instagram shorts. And it's this guy, he plays every character, but it's like life in a restaurant. And he plays the manager, he plays every waiter, he plays every waitress. And if you've ever worked in a restaurant, you'll find these funny. They're funny, but you'll find them funny because, like, he really obviously has worked in a restaurant. Yeah. So he gets all of the things of what it's really like to work in a restaurant.
From what I understand, restaurant culture is, like, a big thing. Like,
it really is what a it's weird like world.
Yeah, and my best friend is a pastry chef. So, like, you know, I know a little bit of it, and I remember, you know, some of her musings about what it was like.
I remember once somebody telling me, oh, ZD's great for snorting coke with. And I was like, life turned into a little tiny old lady. I was like, ZD?
You use a ZD? For the coke?
I clutched my pearls.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's also like, I imagine the hours.
Oh yeah, right.
You know, with working in the restaurant business. Yeah. And, you know, you have to be in early, you're staying out late.
Yeah, working overnight sucked, right? I mean, essentially it sucks, but it's also good in a way because you don't have a big crew. It's like three other people.
Yeah.
So you usually are tight with them. The manager usually lets way more shit slip because it's just like, I remember the nighttime manager who's Sally passed away. She passed away young. She was a very nice person. She was like the complete opposite of the daytime manager. The daytime manager was just an asshole. The nighttime manager was like, listen, if you can get the food to the people.
That's it.
Anything else is fine.
That's all I'm asking for.
Just get the food to the people. Get
the food to the people.
I don't care what the fuck else. Hopefully it's the food
they ordered.
Yeah. I did get into one. I don't know if it was an argument while I was high, but it was like, there was a guy there with his girlfriend. He was kind of like a meathead guy. And I was high. And he was like, I want eggs, I want an omelet, but I want them with egg whites. And I was like, sorry, we don't have egg whites, but we have egg beaters. And which egg beaters are like more synthetic.
Right.
But I was like, why do you want egg whites? And he was like, for the calories. I was like, great, that's exactly what I wanted you to say because I want to show you something. And I showed him the egg white carton and the egg beater carton. And I was like, look, egg beaters have less calories. And he's like, yeah, but they're yellow. And I'm like, I get how that's a sticking point for you.
Okay,
but,
all right.
But don't get be it. Fooled by the yellow, because in fact, you've already stated your priority was low calories, and I got you covered because these are low calories. He's like, yeah, but then he kept going back to like, but I wanted egg whites. Which is funny because it's like that was off the table always because right, we don't it have was them.
Never an option.
I'm just trying to tell you. Your things can still work out.
What you're going to get because you don't have the option of egg whites, it still is good.
I think what really made him angry was at one point I turned to his girlfriend and said, "Can you help me?" Like you
please
must
help me.
You must deal with this idiot all day. Right. Like, can you explain the very simple math of what
Does
we're trying to do here?
Does he ever listen to you? Because I'm failing.
I've said many times. I've showed him the numbers.
The evidence is
the
clear.
Don't lie. The numbers don't
the numbers
lie.
Numbers don't lie.
So yeah, if that conversation happened during like the dinner shift, I probably would have gotten written up and in trouble. But during the the and night shift,
3 a.m. or you know, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't really make.
I had a few walkouts. I had people once who came in. I did not greet them. Did not see them. I think they seated themselves, which is not cool. And then they just like they left, and the manager was like, "They were in your section. Did you say anything to them?" I was like, "I did not know they were there.
I had no clue.
They could have been there for hours." But yeah.
First time I'm seeing them.
Yeah. As they left angrily, but it's like, you know what? You're in a beat in the middle of the night. It's 2 a.m.
Right.
You're gonna get 2 a.m. service.
Right. It's 2 a.m. and like.
I'm going to get you the food. Right. Don't you worry, I'm going to get you that food. You want a piece of pie? I'm going to get you a little extra big piece of pie because no one else is around.
Right.
But don't expect like top notch.
Yeah, this isn't going to be world class. We're not Michelin starred.
I'm going to be sitting when I'm not standing taking your order, you're going to see me sitting in your eye view. And that has to not offend you.
Or I might sit down with you, depending on how cool you are.
Not the egg beater guy, because clearly we're not getting along.
No, we're not compatible.
This didn't we didn't hit it off.
No.
So, you know, at the time it was horrible. But now that I'm a grown up and my job has so much responsibility, like the responsibility of like getting someone their refill, like, sounds like heaven.
Right? It's so simple.
If I screw up now, people don't get things that they need.
Yeah, I remember one time I was working somewhere, and it was somewhere that was close to where my boyfriend lived at the time, my now husband, and he would like visit me on breaks, and we would smoke.
Yes.
And I'm a pretty consistent smoker, so like I don't get like silly, doofy high.
Right.
But
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go right ahead.
Can I say, I don't know if you've ever said this before, but you're high most of the time we record.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know if we have said it, but and yeah, you usually smoke
while we're recording.
Yeah.
And I don't think from editing it, right? It's not like I hear you get high in the episode.
Yeah, I'm quite the functional stoner.
Right.
But this time, I guess he had picked up like some really good stuff or something.
Boy.
And I got way more stoned than expected. And I was not.
Oh, no.
I was not ready to get back to work. Like, it was not going to be okay for me. And thankfully, so it was kind of like, there were pros and cons. So one of the managers at this place asked me to come do something with them. So that's, now I'm terrified. But what they needed me to do required that I wear glasses.
Yeah.
So I was like, great. Because my eyes are glassy, they're bloodshot.
Yeah.
I'm putting eye drops in and nothing's working. Like, it was terrible. I had to pretend I was crying.
Like, my move was pretend that there was a cat around. And I'm allergic to cats. I'm like, is there a cat in this place?
Just this cats?
Throw it at a bank. But
yeah. I did that once. But I got called out because one of the people there was like, wasn't your last job at an animal hospital? Yeah, I just stayed away from the cats.
It's called Zyrtec.
Like, come on. There have been times where it's just like, oh no, I'm too stoned.
There are times where you're like, listen, whoever you are, I'm gonna have to level with you.
I need you to know a little something.
I'm gonna tell you some stuff, and I'm gonna really hope that you're cool.
Yeah.
I remember one time I got really high, and then someone called me and was like, hey, we're down a judge, can you come and judge this film festival? It's starting like in 30, can you get here? And I was like, yeah, I can
do that.
And I got there, and I was just very obviously high, and everyone was like, oh, you're very high. And they were a bit worried, and I was like, number one, I'm not the only judge, there's a panel here. Number two, I forget how I worded it, but I was like, do you think being high will somehow impede my ability to aesthetically value these movies?
Like,
do you
know who I am? Who doesn't get high and watch film also?
I'm only going to be better at this.
Right, like, it's just going to make me pay attention harder.
And I not only was better, in my opinion, I fought the others on things. I didn't go easy. I was like, this movie's clearly the best movie, and you all are wrong.
And you're wrong, and here's why.
I'm gonna fight you here right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I don't know. We just go on tangents. That's how the show goes. Let's say right now that this show is for entertainment purposes, and that we're not dispensing healthcare here.
Nay.
Or, we're not giving you any kind of advice. We're not telling you what to do. No. We're only talking about ourselves. And if you need help, I say, go and get it. Just tell them your name is Phil McCracken and tell them to send the bill to 123 Fake Street and
call it a day.
Do what you gotta do.
Get it done.
Staley, I can't help you. We've usually we bitch, but we've been talking pleasantly.
Indeed.
Maybe because we're both in a good mood. Maybe because we're together.
It's true.
We have never in the history of the show, we've never recorded in person.
Never. And
which is crazy.
It is crazy. And there's something, and I think all people have this, but I know that I and my family have always had, like, something about sitting around the kitchen table.
Yeah.
And I've always loved hosting conversations at my table. Yeah. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
So I kind of love that. Yeah.
It's just the communication is just better.
On point.
Yeah.
Well, as they say,
this podcast was, it was really like a pandemic baby.
It was.
Really. Which is crazy to think maybe. That's behind us now. I mean, it's not behind us. People die of it every day. It's still serious.
But the quarantine.
The quarantine's behind us.
Portion,
like,
yeah.
It's just, you know, we talk all the time about feeling old and time just speeding past us. Mm-hmm. I just can't believe that, like, people have, like, pandemic or, like, quarantine. Like, remember the quarantine? Like,
yeah.
And, like, I hate to say it because people were dying, but, like, I, too, am like... Yeah, I remember just sitting home and, like, playing Doom.
I was we were talking about this yesterday and talking about how many people started doing puzzles.
Yeah,
and how there was bread. Yeah, how puzzles and bread were, like, the big things.
Yeah, we were all watching Tiger King.
Yeah.
And it was just, like...
What a bizarre time.
It was great because... It wasn't great. But what was good about it was that, like, we put a pause on capitalism. Yeah. You were allowed to not be, like... pushing yourself and not be grinding and not be producing, and it felt so good. And there's a certain generation of kids that it was this weird time for them that now they're like, I'm not gonna work a job I don't want.
Yeah.
And the world is changing in for the better for that.
It's wonderful.
You know, like,
I'm a fan.
Yeah, like all this shit, like, oh, quiet quitting, which is like just means doing your job.
Right.
It means not going overboard. That's quiet quitting.
It means not letting some CEO get rich off of your back.
I'm all about it. Like, I don't answer emails off the clock. I have a work phone. I turn it off.
I think starting with our generation, it became a much bigger thing to practice self-care.
Yes.
And to be aware of what you need in order to be a functioning human.
Yeah.
And I think the next generation is even more so like, no, my priority is taking care of myself. My priority is not making money.
Yes.
It's not helping you make money.
Right.
It's taking care of myself and being happy.
Right.
Those are my jobs in this life.
Right. Right.
And that's,
it's a step forward is what it is.
I wish I could remember the guy's name, but he's some kind of like a futurist.
Uh-huh.
Who talks about how, like, there is enough money in the world that we could all be living comfortably and happy, and everybody can be taken care of and have a home and a vehicle and whatever. Like, everything could be managed.
Right.
But instead we live the way we do.
And it's crazy because we work ourselves to death, but still have an ever tightening middle class. So it's not like we work ourselves to death and, like, we have a middle class
rising
where
to the top,
right?
Or,
like, this great middle class where everybody has, like, houses with one income and, like, cars. Like, we struggle and work ourselves to death. Like, it's nuts.
Yep.
That's why when I'm not working, I'm like, you know what? My job, well, that's another thing too, because we live longer and also the economy is so different. People used to be like, I make shoes and that's what I do. Now we have more like portfolio careers.
Yeah.
Like, you have a thing that you like in the world and you do like 5 or 6 jobs around it, either in linear order or at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is another reason people don't throw themselves into the work anymore, because who the fuck... Who just has one job and it's just like, oh, this is totally fine for me.
Yeah. And people don't identify themselves as much by what they do anymore. Like, I've been trying to meet people. I've been meeting new friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, like, the way I phrase the question and the way others usually phrase the question is like, you know, what do you do for work or something? Like, people don't say, what do you do for a living?
No, right.
That's an outdated
you're not making
phrase.
A living.
You're not making a living, like, and you're not.
What are you doing for a struggle? That should be the question.
Like, what are you?
How
struggling
you struggling?
With? What do you struggle with?
Yeah.
From like 9 to 5.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that's a thing, and like when I'm asked about it, it makes me think about like
the difference between, like, you know, oh, I'm a butcher, baker, candlestick maker.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm an artist, and sometimes I'm a cleaning lady, and sometimes, right, like, right. We're kind of getting back to, like, that it's almost like a little barter system. Like, yeah. I can do this for you, right, and you can help me with that, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
Using my interests and my talents to try and make money. And while I'm looking for a job, I'm not going to just take any job. Like, when I see retail, right, jobs and stuff, I just scroll past it. I'm like, I know I don't want to do that. Right. And I'd rather struggle in this way,
right,
than take that job, still be struggling.
Retail.
And hate. Yeah.
It's like jury duty. My time. I know there's some people who do it forever and bless them. And I don't think I'm above any work. Because I've had, you know, I've lived a life. I've had times where, like, I thought I was high on the horse and then was kicked down. And, like,
right,
like a year ago or a year and a half ago, I was doing, after my 9-to-5, I was doing, like, DoorDash.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, so I'm not above anything. But I do feel like I did retail,
mm-hmm,
and that's not again for me because it's so hard. And it sucks
hard.
So much.
It's hard. And people are not nice to you.
No, it's not.
It's hard on your body and your soul and your mental state. Like, it's just hard. And I don't like selling shit to people.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like, come get what you want.
Yeah.
Like, if you want something and I can give it to you, great. I like meeting a need. But I don't want to have to be like, hey, have you seen this thing? Like, I'm not about that.
If I really like something, I could sell it.
Sure.
But I can't sell it.
And that's not to say I'm not good at it. I definitely could be very good at selling something. But I don't wanna.
Right, right.
I don't wanna. I can be very persuasive. I don't wanna use it there, though.
Interesting. I don't think I have that ability. I worked at a JCPenney for like a month. And part of what you had to do was get people to open credit cards.
Yeah.
And like, there was a big board of like how many people open credit cards. Like, that was more important than anything else you did.
Yeah.
And I was doing okay just as like a cashier and a stock person. But the manager would be like, you haven't gotten any credit cards. You haven't gotten any, I don't think I've got one. And then eventually, and then I quit because I just hated it.
Yeah.
But I would have been fired anyway because I just couldn't bring myself, and this was 2009, this is when the recession just hit.
Right.
And I couldn't bring myself to ask people for credit cards.
And they want you to, like, push it, too.
Yeah.
They don't want you to just accept the first no.
Right.
Like, they're going to say no, and right, you're going to say, like, are you sure you'll be saving this percentage, or, like, whatever. Right. They want you to really push it. And that's not just pushing an item onto somebody. That's pushing, like, debt. Yeah.
You'd be really fucking someone.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so do you want to sign this contract?
Right.
That's going to, like, let us charge you money.
Right.
And it's just...
And it's all based on the, like, up. You're saving a little bit now. Like, if you open a credit card with us, you could save 35% now.
And I've read a lot... Don't worry about
later. Later won't come.
Yeah. I've read a lot of studies that explain how, like, you're not even actually getting anything.
I'm sure.
How it's, like, you know, it ends up, like, chalking up to essentially, like, the regular discount that you would get, you
right,
know.
Right, right,
or,
right.
Or, the percentage you get off with that first transaction, unless you're spending like an exorbitant amount, right, of money, that's going to be your interest rate or whatever. Like, you're not getting anything and you're just trying to make people fucking
ruin
their credit.
I tell you somewhere where it worked. A very good friend of mine opened up a credit card to buy a bunch of shit, and he passed away a week later.
Oh, wow.
And I said, that son of a bitch, he did it.
Yeah, that's the dream.
I remember at his funeral, I was like, this motherfucker never had it. He did it. He died very, very young. But
which is sad.
He also never paid taxes ever.
Yeah.
He got away. He did it.
He did it. He never paid taxes.
He fucking did it.
Never paid his credit card bills. I don't
know if his family, I never told anybody. I don't know if anyone knew about that credit card.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like this slate should just be wiped clean. Like, you know, like, how are you gonna hold their family responsible for it if somebody dies?
I know.
That's just...
I know.
The
current president's working so hard to try to, like, cut down student loan debt, which I'm completely for and would help me.
Absolutely.
But even if it didn't help me, I'd be for it.
Yeah.
But I think credit card debt is more the problem in this country.
Yeah. And there's no reason for all of it. It's just that thought, just of the fact that We have enough resources. We have enough.
Right.
Money means nothing. Money used to be backed up by gold in the mint and whatever. And now money is just some weird thing that we all agree means something. Yes. Like, it does not mean a damn thing. But we've all decided that this is worth something or whatever.
Tell me something good. Tell me some good news.
Something good. I usually have my good thing prepared, and I didn't prepare my good thing. Oh, I have a great thing.
Yeah.
I got to celebrate my daughter's birthday.
Lovely.
We got to go to medieval times.
Oh, did you late win?
Our night lost. Our night was the first night that was eliminated. Aww. He was very handsome, though. Nice. Super handsome night. I was telling my husband about the first time I went to medieval times. It was my fifth grade class trip. It was very exciting. It was just the most exciting thing. And my sister came as a chaperone. And my sister is 11 years older than me. So she's in this cool place of like not being a parent, but she's like old enough to do that stuff. Yeah. And so she was the chaperone on the trip. And like she had us like playing games on the bus and stuff. Like, it was the coolest. And I was like super thirsty as a 10-year-old. Like, I fell in love with like the Blue Knight. I was just, and that for like weeks to come, like all I could think about or talk about was the Blue Knight at medieval times. Like, I was enamored. You're like
Tina Belcher.
Yes. I think I feel like so many teen, like, so she perfectly encapsulates like being a teenage, an awkward teenage
at that
girl.
Specific time.
Yeah. It's, but I am absolutely was a teenage Tina who grew up to be Lynn.
Yeah.
1,000%. Like, I watched that show and I'm like, and there's the progression of my personality. But yeah, we had...
So you were just like, for weeks after, you were like, hey, how about that gold
knight?
Do
you remember how handsome he was? That was... I was enamored. But like, it was cool to bring my daughter because she had to bring a friend. Which was cool. Nice. She got to pick somebody to come with her. She picked my niece.
That's nice.
And like we went all out because it's her birthday.
Did she love
it? She had a blast. She was into the whole story and everything too. Yeah, her and my niece were like talking on the side and like, you know, and what's gonna happen if this night? Like, they were so into it. It was adorable. But we, you know, we did the whole royalty package and whatever. Nice. And it felt really good to be able to like spoil her for her birthday.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And I told her that morning, I was like, listen, I'm going to spoil you for your birthday. I'm not going to spoil you rotten. And like, you know, don't start asking me for a million things and whatever. And when I say we're done, we're done. But we're going to go hard today.
That's awesome.
And like, that's, I feel like, you know,
it's beautiful.
As a kid, that was all I ever wanted was like, good morning.
Right.
This day is all for you, and I'm going to say yes to everything you want. So I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
What's in the royal package? What do you get with that?
So you get to sit within the first few rows. They call out your name. They like welcomed her and called your name and said happy birthday. Everybody in your party gets the photo that they take when you walk in. Everybody gets a copy of it. You get like a lanyard that says like, you know, VIP, royal.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was really nice. My niece caught the flower the night through.
Do you freak out when they let the bird out?
No, I love it.
Oh, it upsets me.
I'm scared of birds.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated by them. Uh-huh. I think they're incredible. I think they're beautiful. But I'm pretty scared of them. And actually, this go round, I was walking out to go to the bathroom and one of the employees stopped me and he was like, I have to let you know that if you walk out now, you're going to miss the Falcon and you're not going to be allowed to come back in until it's done.
Because if he sees you standing up, he will murder you.
That's it, because he will go straight for your eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so I'll hang out. I'll stay. I don't want to miss it. And he was like, all right, but you're going to need to take like a couple steps back because if you stay where you are, he's going to hit you right in the face. God. I was like, okay. So it was actually pretty cool. I was like right in the spot where he would like swoop down in the figure eight, and I was just
the bother.
Very cool. They're terrifying. They're so scary. Yeah. But pretty cool.
Let me tell you something a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
The vegetarian option is incredible.
What do they have?
It's like they give you, you still get the dragon bud soup. Tastes like tomatoes.
It's delicious.
They give you, instead of the chicken, you get this big bowl of like this bean stew. Ooh. That's like like three different beans and like rice, and it's very hearty. It's really good. I'm
going vegetarian next time, because yeah, I don't like really eating meat off a bone. There's something, I can handle it at medieval times. Yeah. I won't eat the meat that's too close to the bone.
My girlfriend's like that.
If I'm at medieval times, I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll get it. I'll get my hands in savage. This carcass. But once I get too close to the bone, there's like connective tissue and stuff that I just don't want
to
eat.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. The closer you get to the bone, the more you realize this is an animal.
And like, I get the tradition of just like, you know, digging your hands into it at medieval times. Yeah.
But during try to stew. And they don't even advertise it that much. So I thought like, this is gonna suck. But it's awesome.
I was wondering about it today because I had my best friend was saying how she's been dying to go, but I know she doesn't eat chicken. And I was like, well,
tell her the fucking stew is so good.
And now I'm very excited to know that there's a delicious stew option.
Yeah, it's really good.
Now you tell me something good.
Well, okay. So if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I've had a whole epic hero's journey of my teeth. And finally I got new health coverage, which is better, which is good. So I went to a dentist, and I went to a new dentist because I was like, I don't trust my old dentist anymore.
Right.
I went and he was like, oh, I don't like it at all what I'm seeing here. And then he was like, I want you to go. And I told him that, like, even though I have two root canals right next to each other, 14 and 15, if you're teeth people.
Teeth people, is that like a section? Is there a section of TikTok that they call teeth talk?
I don't know, but I like knowing the numbers of the teeth.
Yeah, I get it.
Teeth talk.
I totally get it. Teeth talk.
It's not that hard to remember either. It's like, so 14 and 15 are both root canals. Yet, when I drink something hot, it stings, which is not supposed to happen.
Yeah, no.
And I went back to my old dentist like multiple times, and he was like, I don't know. Bah, 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 shrug. Maybe you're allergic to something. Like, it was just, he's just
allergic.
He's just a fucking idiot. So I went to a new dentist, and he sent me to an endodontist, which is like
gums,
root canal. Well, root canal, yeah.
Okay.
Endo's inside. Okay. So root canal guy, and this guy's so nice. All they do is root canals, and he takes an X-ray, and he's like, these are really fucked up root canals. I was like, really? Damn. And he was like, he did the thing. He was like, here's your root canals. I'm going to show you what like a normal root canal is supposed to look like. You see the fucking difference? Oh, and I was like, wow, like, why would they even do it in the office if they fuck it up? And he was like, that's when he, like, I could see, like, I don't know, the legal part of him turned on. Like, he didn't want to say they shouldn't, but he was like, whatever, you know, whatever. Sometimes it's okay, but it didn't, not with you. So,
but not with you.
So, he did it, and it was, like, virtually painless. Because, one, I didn't have a nerve in it, so that's number one.
It's already.
But, like, he's just that's all he does. He knows the right place to put the needle.
Right.
He does it fast and quick. He gets in there. He don't even like when you get a regular like root canal, like they fucking make a huge hole and then they have to put a cap. I have crowns on them. He just made a tiny hole in the crowns and then went in through the tiny hole to do it.
Like laparoscopic.
And I've had one of the two redone because he wants to redo both of them.
Yeah.
And it feels great. It feels like this is what it's supposed to feel. The pain is gone.
That's wonderful.
And it feels good to know that I'm in a good place and that I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Listen,
the moral of the story is, I know you're like, it's a pain in the ass to find someone new. Trust yourself and get a second opinion.
Right.
If you want a second opinion, if you feel like, I don't know if I can trust this person, whether they're being deceitful or they're just a fucking idiot, either is possible.
Yep.
Go ahead and get yourself a second opinion.
It's worth it.
You're not cheating on your doctor. They're never going to know, and fuck them anyway.
And like, who do you care about more, yourself or this guy's opinion?
Right.
You know, like, what, I'm going to offend this doctor by going somewhere else? Okay, my body needs to be taken care of.
I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad I did it. Because it's something that I never did before. I never in my life have ever, like, I've said, like, I'm not going to second opinion, but I never have.
Right.
First time I did it, and it was so worth it because they fucking jacked up.
Yeah.
These fucking root canals.
That's a nightmare. That's like an actual fear that I have, is like getting some sort of procedure. and it's done wrong right. or something. Right.
But the endodontist was like a maestro. He like it was so smooth, so like
that's the thing with going to a specialist too, it's like so great. That's his bread and butter. He probably can do a root canal in his sleep. Like,
right, right. It was beautiful. It's beautiful. So that's my good thing.
Good stuff.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
You always say that I ask you two deep questions. So this is not a deep question. If you had to kill me, you had to. Right, and this was inspired by Knock on the Cabin, because you in that you have to kill somebody to save the world.
Right.
Let's say you have to kill someone. You have to kill me.
Yeah.
How would you do it? Have you thought of this? Have you ever thought about killing me?
No. What's the least painful way to kill someone? I mean, like,
and I'm let's say for hypothetical, I'm not allowed to ask for a certain way.
And, like, it's traumatic and terrible, but, like, shooting someone in the head is, like, the quickest way.
Especially if you go up behind them, you'll never know what happens.
It's that's it.
But it's brutal to be the one who does the shooting.
Right. It's violent.
It's wild.
What's the word I want?
Visceral.
Visceral? I want...
There's gonna be you're blowing my head off.
There's carnage, yeah.
Yeah.
For the sake of, like, you know, tidiness,
yes.
I feel like smothering someone with a pillow.
Okay.
Smothering you with a pillow, I guess, in this instance.
Me. You're killing me.
Yeah, I know. This is terrible. Here's something you could do. You
could really quick sneak up behind me with a pillowcase, put that over my head, and then shoot me.
And then shoot you.
And that'll take down a lot of the brain spray and stuff.
That's true. But it's still, what a violent thing.
Yeah, shoot, and it's loud. Like, have you ever shot a gun?
I have. I've been to a range.
Yeah, I only did it once, and it's so much louder than you think it's. Like, you know it's going to be loud, but it's so much.
But
louder
it's even than louder it's than be. That. Yeah. And like, my instinct at first is like, oh, well, poison is probably like, but poison's painful.
Yeah, yeah. It just
poison's really painful. Like. I mean, obviously, it depends on the poison, what the reaction is, but like, it's you're dying from the inside out. I guess I'd just shoot you in the head.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Terrible. Okay, so my question for you is a very silly one. Have you seen Letterkenny?
No, I haven't.
I want you to watch Letterkenny.
Okay,
it's very silly. And it's not my recommendation. That's something different.
Sure.
I wanted to know specifically if you had seen Letterkenny and I want you to watch it because it's a similar formula to some other things, but it's a really unique kind of comedy.
Yes.
And I feel like it's, like a progression of comedy that, just like makes sense.
Okay.
Like as a progression of like earlier comedic things that I know you like and stuff. Uh-huh. And I think you would like it.
It's sketches?
It's sort of sketches. Uh-huh. It's not a sitcom. Mm. There are like recurring characters and stuff like that. There are some like small continuing plot points, but nothing really important. And it's just, every episode just feels like a series of bits.
Okay.
And like they start with like the same kind of bit every time. And, you know, there's a lot of like ongoing jokes and like, you know, the way they talk and the little like phrases that they use and stuff. And it's just a really funny show.
Where do I find it?
Hulu.
Hulu.
And there's lots of it.
Is there?
Yeah.
Is it English? Is it British? Or
no, it's Canadian.
It's Canadian. So close.
Which is another thing that makes it funny. I just like Canadian people make me laugh.
They got a good vibe.
They've
got
a really great sense of humor.
Yeah. I mean, think about how many huge comedians in America are Canadian.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was your question.
That was my question. And like,
I'm sorry that the answer was no.
Yeah, I know. And like, I wanted to, but it's not my recommendation. That's an important distinction.
I won't hold you to it.
It's my recommendation for you.
Okay.
But not my general recommendation.
All right. What's your general recommendation?
My general recommendation is something that I just started watching that I've seen two episodes of so far.
Okay.
Shrinking on Apple TV Plus.
Is that the one with Harrison Siegel Ford?
And Harrison Ford.
How is that?
I'm really, really liking it so far. It's got that like dark comedy feel, that coping with things that are tragic and difficult by being funny. It's got that element to it. I love Jason Segel and anything he ever has done. He delights me. Yeah. I think he's just, I don't understand who gets to be that wonderful of a human.
He's an interesting
way. I think he's Canadian, isn't he?
Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah, what I like about him is he pulled away from that whole Apatow Franco camp.
Yeah.
Like he was in it, but then he pulled away. He's not like your Seth Rogans or them.
No.
Maybe he knew early on that Franco was a douchebag.
Maybe. Maybe he saw something and he was like, I gotta get out. Yeah. But he, he's gotten deeper.
Yeah.
With his roles and stuff. Like he's, you know, this is great.
And
this
they pay therapists?
Great. They're therapists, yes.
That's very cool.
Yeah. They're great. They're really, really good.
Where's that on?
That's on Apple TV Plus.
See, I don't have Apple TV
Plus. I'll add you to my family.
Oh, thank you.
I can add with five people and I only have one.
There's another thing on that I wanted to watch.
It's Severance.
No, it's not that.
Oh, but watch Severance. Oh,
okay.
Oh, God, it's so good.
But what was the other thing that I wanted to watch?
I don't know. I was hoping it was Severance.
And a couple times I was like, hey, let's watch it. And then my girlfriend would be like, no, it's Apple TV. And I'd be like, oh, then it's not real. It doesn't exist to me.
Yeah, I'm not like, I'm not like, you know, an Apple stan. But I remember. I am. Yeah.
The new show with Natasha Lyonne, which is a detective.
Yes. What's it called? Yep.
Poker Face.
That's what it's called.
That's the show I want to watch.
I do want to watch that. I listened to an interview with her the other day and I just...
She's great.
Oh, God, I love her.
She's fantastic.
And I could listen to her talk forever.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because a lot of the things I like about her voice are things that I don't like about my own.
Really?
Like her accent and sometimes so how nasally or raspy. Right. Like that's... I would listen to her talk and I'd be like, no, like the accent and the little bit of nasally, you know, quality to it or rasp or whatever is what makes her voice so cool. And not that mine is anywhere near as cool as her voice is.
Well, hers is so, there's a timbre to her voice. Even like way back when she was a kid. Like, it was always like.
It's incredible. Cool. I love it. I love it. I would listen to her talk all the damn time.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
My recommendation is. Well, it's something that I already happened, but you can catch something similar to it. Mm. The Fever is this like app slash like group that puts on like shows. Like the Fever app, you could get like Broadway tickets through it. You could get all kinds of like museum tickets through it. But then Fever themselves, the company, like puts on their own things, and some of them are good and fairly cheap.
That's cool.
And they have a series called Candlelight where they have. Usually just like a five piece like violin, classical music.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's classical music, sometimes it's something else. Me and Jen, this Friday, we went to Candlelight Taylor Swift. And it was in an old church in Brooklyn. So you're in an ancient church.
Beautiful.
And they didn't use real candles for safety. They used like, you know, the little
LED.
Yeah. But that was the only illumination. It was everywhere on the floor. So you're in an old fucking cathedral and it's lit by candlelight.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
And they're playing classical music, Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. And I don't know if they're going to do Taylor Swift again, but they do all sorts of these candlelight things. And it was like, the ticket was like $50.
Yeah,
it was like not bad at all.
Yeah, that's a...
It's such a nice little night out.
Night, yeah.
And I'm an old man. I want to be home. It was like 50 minutes. They started exactly on time.
Perfect.
They did one encore. It was 65 minutes. Perfect.
That's a perfect duration.
And then we're out.
And then you're out.
It was fantastic. It was so good.
Yeah, you don't want something like that to go too long. You want it to be just long enough that it's still magical and it's not old or anything like that. You don't want it to lose that.
And just the juxtaposition of like, we're in a church and you're playing classical music, yet we have LED lights and it's Taylor Swift music. Yeah. But it's like
contemporary it wasn't, music, yeah.
But it wasn't like jokey. Like yeah. they all talked and they were like, "This is my favorite song." Like they love Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And they love interpreting her through.
Yeah.
This like a violin, and it was fucking incredible.
Yeah, there are a lot of. I'm not like a gigantic Taylor Swift fan or anything, but like I can appreciate when a person is talented. And there are a lot of really beautiful like instrumentals in yeah. her music. So I can imagine seeing that played live with like a string quartet or whatever.
I'm not the hugest fan either, but like my girlfriend's a huge fan and I've heard a lot of it and we all have because she's popular.
Right.
But if you like, she gets better. Yeah. Like if you track everything she's done, like you could see a maturity like, oh, she's actually really good and yeah. getting better.
I like her more recent stuff yeah. now because and she works with like people that I really yeah, yeah. like. So she works with Phoebe Bridgers, who I like. She works with Connor Oberst, who I like. Bon Iver. Like, so I think like a lot of that influence has changed her music and
yeah, yeah, yeah.
made it yeah. something that you would want to listen to by candlelight in a cathedral.
She put out two back-to-back albums during the pandemic that are like very like gorgeous. Reflective.
I
and
love
stuff.
Them.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
I really love. Yeah. And that's why I say like I'm not a huge fan because I don't know a lot of her other stuff, yeah. to be honest. I know, if you know, a few of the big yeah. hits and stuff. I live in America in the time that I do. But those two albums that she put out during yeah. quarantine were beautiful because they were yeah. really honest and reflective and like stripped down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I dug that.
She was in the movie, and I'm the only person who saw this, Amsterdam, which yeah, was yeah. that movie that came out a few months ago, and it was like, I think it was between World War I and II. Mm. And she's not the greatest actress, but she was perfect because she has a 20s face.
She does have a
20s
face.
She looks like an old movie star.
She does.
So she like fit right in.
Yeah, she's yeah. got a very old Hollywood look to her.
Yeah.
You could, like, her hair, like, should be in finger waves yes, yes, with, like, yeah, the bright yeah, red yeah. lip. Yeah, like, yeah, that's... Yeah.
Where, like, the edges of your mouth don't have the lipstick on it.
Yeah.
You just do the inside.
The little in...
Yeah. yeah. Whatever the fuck that was supposed to be.
Whatever that was, right?
Whatever we were aiming
what
at with
strange...
that.
What a strange... And we're back to... We've gone full circle. We're back to the strange...
Yeah.
...things that people now do.
Remember in the 90s yes. when it was popular to, like... have like a light color but do like a liner that was really
very dark.
Dark
yes dark brown lip liner clear
Why?
Lip gloss
Why?
Or
Why?
You do the dark lip liner and then you take the foundation that you put on your skin
yeah
and put a little bit of that on your lips and then some gloss over it. Why?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Why?
Terrible.
It was clownish.
Terrible. And the foundation, it's not meant for your lips.
Yeah.
That's not what it's for. Like, your lips need a different formula. That's why foundation and lipstick are two different products.
Right.
And we
God
were just
damn it,
90s. Slapping it on. Like,
well, we were doing all sorts of bullshit in the 90s. We were wearing tops as bottoms and bottoms as tops.
People were wearing the
scrunchies
clothes
as bracelets. We were doing nuts. We were nuts.
Going crazy.
We were using bottle caps as games.
Yep. It's a crazy time. Hell of a time.
We were nuts in the 90s. We were nuts.
I mean,
well,
it shaped us.
This has been a very good episode.
Yeah.
I think doing it in person really was good. Let's try to do this as much as we can, if
yeah.
it works for us. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't gotta be every time, but I feel like juice. I feel
yeah.
the juice.
Feel the juice. Right up here.
Yeah, that's it. This has been Cuckoo Bananas. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks.
I hope you had a good Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And happy Valentine's Day, sweeties.
What's next month? March. Ugh, the worst month.
March.
To me, at least.
Yeah, I don't like March either.
It's the worst.
Yeah, no, March is traumatic yeah. for me. My mother died at the end of March. So, like, you know, body keeps the score. Every March, my body's like, hey, motherfucker, remember what happened?
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah, so this was a fun one. Next month, probably be a horrible one.
Yep, yep. I'm going to unload all about my dead mom. Get ready for some Katara shit.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.